Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I am your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and it's always my pleasure and my delight to be with you. My co-host is Veronica McMillan of the Micro Nonprofit Network Incorporated, and we are so excited to have you join us. Issues Concerning Women focuses on women and their families reaching long and short-term goals, assisting them in the areas of business, careers, housing, finance, and life skills. The Micro Nonprofit Network Incorporated helps nonprofit organizations, small ones, become foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for 501c3 organizations. We offer advocacy services to infuse and stabilize households and foster a sense of community involvement, self-worth, and self-determination. Our vision is to empower women through hands-on demonstrations, details of home ownership, career development, investing for retirement, exercise and nutrition classes, entrepreneurship, relationship building, and literacy programs for adults. We are dedicated to making a difference. Thank you so very much. If this is your first time tuning in to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show, I welcome you. For our longtime listeners, I thank you as well. We could not continue to do the show without you, about your feedback and letting us know that you enjoy our conversations, our tips, our principles, and all the God-given gifts that God has given us that we get the opportunity to share with you. So thank you so very much. It is a beautiful day in Virginia Beach, Virginia. It is on the warm side for me today, but, you know, it's good to be here. I'm excited, so I will not complain, because normally if you're complaining about something, you're going to find something else to complain about. So I have no complaints. I'm just glad to be here, and I want to bring on my co-host, Veronica McMillan. How you doing, Veronica?
Hello, Francine. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you. I was just talking about how warm it is today, but I'm not going to complain because when it was cold, I wanted to complain about that. So now that it's warm, no complaining. So we're just going to be in gratitude and be grateful that we are just here in this moment and just grateful to just be here and to continue to bring information every Thursday to our listening audience. So, Veronica, on this day, I just want to say thank you, as always, for being my co-host and my partner in everything that we do. I won't say crime because we don't commit any crimes, folks, just in case y'all want to know. But we are a team, and we work very well together. So thank you for always showing up and being with me. So I thoroughly enjoy our conversations. So tonight, I know that a lot of things are going on in the world, but two things that were brought to my attention today. One was the unemployment rate for African Americans and people of color. And the second one was mental health. So I want to talk a little bit about the unemployment rate. It's about 9.6%, closer to 9.7% for African-American women. And so anytime that we get the opportunity to encourage our listening audience, we want to do that. So, Veronica, could you speak a little bit about that rate and just say something positive to the people who are out there looking for opportunities, and we know there are many out there. So let's just talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, that number is staggering, especially when we know that we're just coming out of, well, I don't want to say coming out of COVID, but we're coming to a place where things are much more manageable now. And for to hear those stats is, again, it's just staggering to me. But again, I think that whenever things get real crazy, you're going to have to look at how creative can you be. And one thing, I was talking to a young lady yesterday, and we were really talking about the nonprofit world and funding and all that stuff, and she basically was saying, you know, she's been, you know, with companies, and she now has her own business where she writes grants and all that stuff, but she also has worked in that for-profit world, and she talked about how there's this same problem where we don't get the funding, we're last in line, we're always running behind somebody in terms of dollars, and I expect that's probably what is happening now, that, you know, when COVID hit, everything was just thrown out of whack. People lost their jobs. Now those jobs are, we're seeing hiring, you know, signs all around in the area. However, with those numbers that you just said, there's something missing. And I think that we're going to have to go back to that creative part of ourselves to say, if I was in hospitality, is that what I want to go back to? You know what I mean? And looking at possibly how do I pivot and use those skills that I had before, and maybe looking at customer service in another way, maybe customer service from a tech, not from a tech perspective, or customer service from some other perspective, and then just trying your hand at basically doing some stuff on your own and knowing that it's going to take you a moment, but a little dollars is better than no dollars. And, I learned that years ago because I used to complain when I was younger about, oh, my God, I'm not making any money. But when I realized that a few dollars was better off than no dollars. And so I think that that's what's going to have to happen. We're going to have to look at these stats and how do we basically kind of bridge the gap. And bridging the gap is going to be something for us, and I don't think just because we're in this time, Francine, that it's going to be that way. It is going to be something that is going to all of a sudden be over for us because we've been trailing for years. We had 400 years of slavery, and now we're trying to catch up, and now we got this political atmosphere that we're in, and then the stats, like you just said. So I think that we have to look at how do I reinvent myself and what other things can I do, and then do I look at somehow or another, because gig working is the big thing now. People are doing all kinds of freelancing and all of that stuff and figuring out, you know, how they can manage from that and looking at how do you connect with other businesses where you could maybe work for three or four people doing whatever it is that you were doing before. So that's sort of kind of how I look at it, Francie. But those numbers are staggering. I didn't even know until you said that.
Yes, and I found it quite by accident. I was looking for something else. You know, I'm the research queen. And so I was looking for something else today, and it came across. And I think it was meant for me to see it so that we could bring this topic up today. Everything that we do now is intentional. And so I never take anything for granted. If something comes across my desk or in an email and it perks my interest, then I'm going to check into it. And so when we look at numbers like that, I'm always curious, is that really a true number, and it may even be higher, because if they try to divide it up between African-American women and men, where do we really stand when those numbers are being read? And so I'm going to leave it at that for today, but that number is still crazy. There are signs out there. Everywhere you go, everybody is hiring. We know that once the unemployment is completely cut off, or that people have to report those two job listings that they did for this week, and they haven't been anywhere, they're not going to continue to get the funds. A lot of the states have already cut off the $300 per week that was being divvied up, so it's going to force people to go back to work. And so my other thing that I wanted to talk about today is knowing what we've gone through in the pandemic, and we're not over it yet. We're just rounding the corner, as we say, because we don't want to say that we're over it, because we just don't know. But as we go around the bend, I wanted to just talk a little bit about working from home and what that's going to look like for so many of the companies that are out there, and are they truly, truly, fully understanding the impact of the single mom or the single dad who doesn't have childcare? You let them work from home for a year, and now you're going to force them to come back to work. Are you going to lose those employees. So I want you to, you know, jump in there, Veronica, because I know you meet with a lot of people and you're still out and about. You haven't stopped since day one. You've still been out there and you're kind of seeing what's going on. So can you speak to that just a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I'm fortunate, thank God, to be able to do it virtually and to do it from the office. And I think what has to happen, two things. I want to say, one, about the fact with people in the unemployment. I think we have talked for years since we've been doing this show about strategy and strategic planning. If you are using your unemployment, understand that eventually is going to run out, whether they cut it off or it just ends or what have you. So you can't wait till the last minute without strategizing how you're going to get over the hump. So I think that's important. And then I think COVID again changed the game. And I think that employers are going to make some changes because they're going to see that people do need to have that flexibility, because we're seeing that people have realized that with virtual working, teleworking, you can literally work from anywhere in the world and do a job. We were talking about this with the young lady that I want her to be a part of our strategy cafe because of, mm-hmm. you know, the work that she's done in terms of grant writing. But I think what people, again, have to do, Francine, is you're going to have to make a case for yourself with your employer, because everybody has, you know, that individual employer relationship where you can say to someone, Mr. Jones, where I am in terms of the child care and how this basically could benefit me if I can stay home. I think you got to make your own case, because no one can speak for you like you can speak for you. And I think we're going to have to do that, because I think that there is going to be changes, because companies are going to realize that people still can do what they were doing before, because COVID showed us that we could do it. And especially companies where people were laid off and now they're scrambling trying to find people to fill places or what have you. But for those who are, you know, child care was an issue or what have you, I would make a case for myself and show basically the value in the work that you've done while you were at home, if you had the luxury of doing that, and then just basically move forward in looking at other opportunities. Never, 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 never. Especially if, like for us, we're on the other side of our work life, and for a lot of people, they're not, and so they are just really in their 30s and 40s, maybe 20s, 30s and 40s. Having to grind a little bit harder because they're not on that other side just yet. And so I think that you have to be an advocate for yourself, and that's what I believe is going to be the change, that the game changer, when everybody begins saying, listen, this is how I see myself as an asset to your organization, and we already know that it can work simply because we had a whole year of COVID sending everybody to the home, and now we're trying to slowly come out of this thing. And I think we have to be real careful, too, that we don't rush this thing either, because we don't know. We only have, like, half of America, you know what I mean, vaccinated.
Right.
So that in itself is another issue, and so we have to look at that. So anyhow, that's what I think, Francine.
Okay, great. And thank you, Veronica, because I know that as we look at this, so I'm a big picture person in strategies, and like you said, being intentional and all the things that we do, advocating for others and ourselves, we have to really be clear on what our focus is and what's going to benefit us as a community, as a family. And I fear, and, you know, of course, not in the sense that I'm scared to go out and do anything, but as you stated, I don't want us to be so cavalier that it's like, oh, half on people got their shots, we just go back out there and do what we do, and then we get reinfected and we go right back to where we were. We can't take another hit like we took last year for some people. You know, some of us fared well, and for Veronica and myself, we fared well during 2020. We were fine, and we were still able to maintain everything. Nothing got cut off. We didn't lose anything, that sort of thing. But so many other people were not as lucky as we were. And we don't take it for granted because we feel that it's truly a blessing. And anytime that you're looking at your current situation, you have to look at what you have been doing along the way. Because even though they tell us we're supposed to save all this money, money's not going to do you any good if you're not in good health. Money's not going to do you any good if you are not responsible with your money. So anytime we're looking at the unemployment rate, the money, how we're going to feed our families, we know that there are still communities that lost their grocery stores and their all kinds of things going on in the communities that we need to address. And Veronica and I can't do it all, but we're going to do as much as we can. And so I want you to tell everybody your information, how to get in touch with you, and then we're going to segue right into the next portion and talk about the mental health and the program that you have coming up.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, you can connect with me via email at info@micrononprofitnetwork.org, or you can just go to our website at themicrononprofitnetwork.org, and certainly you can reach out to me by phone at 757-572-0974. Only serious inquiries, please, sirs and ma'am, because it's so important to connect with people, but we want to connect with people who basically are serious about business and whatever it is that they're trying to get started. So yep, that's my contact information, Francine.
Absolutely wonderful. Thank you. And if you would like to call me, my number is 757-567-6734. I prefer a text unless you're going to leave me detailed information. So you can text me, leave me your name, please. I will not text you back if your name is not there because I don't know who I'm going to be talking to. Email address is icwdirector@gmail.com, and the website is www.issuesconcerningwomen.org, and then we have our blacktopbusiness.com. And so we are here to help, and I say all the time that it is so many people that need help, but we don't know who you are, and unless you tell us you need help, we won't know. So we are here to help you in any way that we can. And if it pertains to business, whether it be small business or nonprofit, just give us a call or email, and we'll be more than happy to speak to you and direct you to where you need to go if we're not the ones that can help you. So that being said, I want to talk about the mental health issue because I know that nationally they had Mental Health Month as the month of May. Mental health is like financial health. It can't be one month. It has to be every month. We have to just keep doing it until we are able to reach as many people as we can. And so that being said, Veronica, can you share a little bit about your upcoming program? Because I know there might be somebody listening who, if they don't need this program, they may know someone that needs the program.
Yeah, it is our sixth community conversation. It's called Mental Health and the Police. And one of the reasons why I wanted to address the mental health issue was, one, this is the one-year anniversary of George Floyd's death, and then it's 1 year of the pandemic. It's been 1 year that we all have been isolated in our homes or what have you. And when we talk about mental health issues, I think that sometimes what happens is we look at mental health in a sense of someone deemed, you know, insane, crazy, or what have you. But I think what we're missing in the deeper conversation is that the mental health of individuals who are dealing with constant trauma. And I think as African American women and men and boys, I think that we carry the brunt of that, because I think that we want to just basically just talk about the individuals who are just dealing with whatever the mental health diagnosis that they have, but we're not thinking about the everyday person going to work. I had an incident probably was last week or so, and a young lady drove up beside me and just yelled at my husband and I, because I guess we were going too slow, and she said... She's like, retard, and when I tell you, I got so angry, and that really, it really isn't, you know, who I am as an individual to be that sort of kind angry. It is like like road rage anger, you know what I mean? So, and I, mm-hmm. when I came back home, I realized that I was carrying anger that I that was not expressed. And if you don't really, mm-hmm. if you don't watch out, you will find yourself depressed, and you don't even know how you got there. You know what I mean? And so I think that mm-hmm. when we look at this as a whole, you know, I think we're dealing with trauma in a sense that people don't even know about, because we walk around every day. Think about when you basically drive down the street now, and all of a sudden the police officer pulls the police pulls behind you and just follows down behind you. Maybe he's not, he or she's not really after you, but the sense of, oh God, they're behind me, now has been ratcheted up a bit since all of the social justice, all of that stuff is going on. And I think, to me, that basically is something that we need to talk about, because that incident could have been something that could have easily gone left and been one of those crazy kind of situations, but it all stemmed from the fact that I believe we've had pent-up rage, pent-up anger, pent-up frustration, pent-up trauma, especially those of us in the African-American and brown communities, that we have not been able to express. And I think that this conversation with the police and mental health professionals and some community people just talking about strategies, what do we need to do different, and how do we help each other to be better at what we're doing on a daily basis so that we don't have these incidences that we see, because black folk are tired of seeing their sons and their fathers, their husbands killed in the street. And we got to do something, you know, a little bit different. And the watching of videos and all the stuff in the news doesn't help. But we got to figure out a way, Francine, I believe, to address this issue. So that's the purpose of the conversation on June 18th at 1 p.m. at the Rokeby Center here in Chesapeake, Virginia.
Absolutely wonderful. And I know that it is not an easy conversation to have. And when I was doing the research, I found that 1 in 5 adults in America experience some sort of mental health issue. Nearly 1 in 25, that's 10 million adults in America, live with a mental issue. One half of mm-hmm. all chronic mental illness begins by the age of 14, and it is not addressed. 3/4 by the age of 24, and it is not addressed. So we are looking at so many people who may not even truly understand themselves that they have any kind of issue, because it's their normal everyday life, what they do, the way that they act. And I am always concerned when I see parents who will say that they didn't know that little Johnny and little Keisha was in the room playing with guns. They had no idea that that was their child. And so we really have to look at who we are as a community, and we have to take our head out of the sand and look at our children and be curious about what they're doing. They spend so much time in their rooms now. You know, they don't go outside. They don't socialize. That should be a red flag for a parent. And I'm just, sometimes, Veronica, it just baffles my mind that they don't see an issue with that, that your child stays in their room, you know, 20 hours out of 24. That's an issue. They're always looking at some kind of game that has to do with guns or killing or violence. And when your child hurts someone or hurts an animal, that you're surprised. So I know that we can't, you know, address all the issues, but at least we can have some of these conversations. And I'm so proud that you are able to put this program together, because I think there are so many topics that can stem from just the overall topic itself of mental health. You know,
mm-hmm.
and so we mm-hmm. really have to be diligent about what we're doing. It cannot happen in a month. It's like me as a financial educator in training telling someone the credit score is going to be good in a month, just hang out with me for a month. It's not going to happen. We have to address these things daily, weekly, monthly, however long it takes, so that as a society, we are open to talking about mental health. Because, you know, when we were growing up, Veronica, if someone in your family did have some kind of disorder, nobody was supposed to talk about it. It was supposed to be kept secret in the house. We knew Uncle Ray Ray was crazy. We knew something was wrong with him. And we knew he was taking medication. And we knew when he didn't take his medication, there were certain things that he might do. But we covered for him, which I think so many times could be more dangerous. Because if he goes out and hurts somebody, when you should have probably gotten him some more help or seen to it that he was able to take his medication, and not that I'm blaming anybody because I'm not playing the blame game. Don't trust and believe me. But when you know that your loved one has mental illness, like the man who the wife and the children called the police on him, knowing that he was off his medication and they killed him because he went out into the yard and just, like, charged at the police. There has to be another way for us to handle these kind of situations. Should the police have been the first one on the scene? Is there, we talked about this, I've talked about it with the police force in Virginia Beach, and I'm surely, if I'm able to attend on the 18th, I want to talk to those other officers. Is there something that we can do, and it may have to be a bill that has to be put in place to have someone else come for those kind of situations. It's not about that they're being violent. They're just being unruly or they're off their medications. Who should be the first one on the scene? It should not possibly, in my mind, be a police officer with a gun drawn to antagonize them when they're already in distress. So those are the kind of things that we're going to talk about on June 18th. I hope that you will join us, whoever can. We're not going to have a lot of people. So once we get to that capacity, and Veronica will let me know, we're going to close that door and so that we can be all comfortable in that space and just have a great conversation. So I'm looking forward to it, Veronica, and I know that you're working diligently and hard to make sure that it's a great event. So I know we have about 4 more minutes, and so I want to change the subject because I want to leave on a good subject today. Because these two topics are distressing to me. I don't know about you, Veronica, but they just, like, blowing my mind, you know, when I look at these statistics and when I'm doing the research. But it is Memorial Day weekend, and, again, it's not really a happy time, but it is a time of, because we're going to remember those. It's a day of remember those. But it's also a time, since some of the restrictions have been lifted, for families and friends to possibly get together, still wear your mask if you know you're not vaccinated, and those who know that they are and you're not sure if everybody else in the group is vaccinated, then still wear your mask. And so I encourage everyone, if they can, to get out, do something fun. I know this is going to be a big beach weekend in Virginia Beach, and so just be careful out there. I know people are traveling, so if you're traveling, please be careful. I have family that's in Atlanta this week, and so I want to send traveling mercies to them and just pray that they be careful and take care of themselves. So is there anything you want to say to our audience about this weekend of remembrance and any good vibes that we can send out over the airwaves?
Yeah, just basically just have fun and be aware. You know what I mean? I think that that's the that's the word. Not fearful, but aware. And then being able to get together, because now at least we can, with those vaccinated and kids getting vaccinated, you can hug your loved ones. You can have your cookouts and all of that stuff. It's that time of gathering now. That is the celebration of those that served and for family members who basically that's passed on. You can celebrate their lives. It really is about a good life. And I think that if we can just manage to understand the importance of community and taking care of one another, it's going to be a good weekend. And I hope it doesn't rain us out, although the earth needs water.
I think
good vibes.
Yes, and I wanted to say, we got about a minute, happy birthday to my partner and business partner and my friend, Veronica McMillan. Her birthday was the 25th, and your gift will be in the office tomorrow. Hopefully, I left my keys yesterday. I had to laugh at my old self. I'm sitting there out in the office like, I can't get in. Anyway, our audience don't need to know all our business. But anyway, happy birthday, my friend. Continue to celebrate your life as I celebrate you. I couldn't have asked for a better friend, and I know that God has blessed our friendship And I'm just delighted that we're still able to do all the things that we do and that we get to share these moments together. So thank you so much. Happy birthday, Sister Fran. And everyone, we will see you all next week. Have a safe, safe Memorial Day. God bless you all.
God bless. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.